Shabbat Shalom. Good morning. Our Torah portion this morning is about Mizpatim. And this parasha sets out a series of laws, and which some scholars called the covenant of code. It reports that people's acceptance of the covenant with God. And through this Torah portion or parasha, Mizpatim actually contains all the three categories of mitzvah: the chukim, idot, and mizpatim. Mizpatim teaches us to gain spiritual insight from every part of the Torah. Because every time we read the Torah, we must ask ourselves what this word meant to us and how this word make it sense in our lives. Is there something in your life that holding you back from serving God? Is there something in our life that are holding us back to serve God? What is keeping us from having a closer walk with God? Or fully submitting ourselves, our lives to Him? What is keeping us from being faithful believers? You're so quiet. My message today is called, What is Holding Us Back? In this morning, I want to explore some of the things that are holding us back from serving the Lord. Heavenly Father, this morning, we entrusted to you our service. Father, apart from you, I cannot do anything. Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, be with us. Lord, speak for us. Truly, O God, that you are the God whom we are serving is the living God. In Yeshua's name, we ask all these things. Amen. Brethren, what is holding us back in serving the Lord? First, worry. Worry, the word worry is one cause or one of the reason can holding us back in serving the Lord. As a human, we have a lot of worries, right? As a person, I remember when God called me in the ministry in the year 1981, I have a lot of excuses. Lord, I'm still young. I cannot go for a full-time ministry at this age. Because I have a lot of worries in my mind. How can I survive? Because I've seen some of the pastors the way they live way back home. It's really live by faith. Live by faith. So now, you call me in the ministry? No, Lord, I'm still young. Because why? I have a lot of worries in my mind. And some of the struggle that hold people back from serving God, as I've said, is worry. And as we know, worrying can weigh a person down. According to Proverbs 12:25, worries in the man's heart weigh it down. And we are worried for many things, right? We are worried for many things. We worry about our family, our friend, our job, and health. And worrying makes us ineffective and unable to cope with life's challenges and lead us also into depression. Do you agree with me that worries can lead us into depression? And also worrying is exhausts our energy. The more you worry, the more become weak. And worrying will never solve one's problem. Actually, it will contribute it. The more you worry, the more our problem become bigger. It will not help. It's not help at all. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, as our first text, it says here, "So I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your Father in heaven feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you by worrying can add single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Now if in this way God clothed the grass, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, will he not more clothe all you little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what we'll eat, what we will drink, or what we will wear. For the pagans eagerly pursue all these things, yet your Father in heaven knows that you need all this." So why we need to worry? Understand that worry won't change everything. When you look at in Luke 12:26, it says that if then we cannot do even a very little thing, why don't you worry about other matters? We know that in life we have a lot of troubles, right? But believe the God whom we are serving is able. He is the God knows everything we need. All problems we have, all trouble that we face on, we are marked. According to the verse that we read, it says that we are much more important than birds or flowers. God knows how to take care of his children in their needs. Now, what's holding you back in serving Yeshua? Worries? The problem is we cannot set ourselves free from worrying if we cannot identify it. Why are you worrying? Actually, in what point are you worrying? Unless we point out what is the main thing why make us worry, that will make us set free because we know how to solve it. Right? So, in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. What's the promise? Or request and promise? Let your request be made known to God, and God will do the rest. But the problem sometimes, we use our strength, we use our own wisdom to look for something to solve our worries, to solve our problems. But when we go first to God, absolutely, we can receive the good result of what we are asking. Worries and difficulties in the past can hold us back also in serving the Lord. How many of us have experienced a sense of woundedness? How many of us have experienced a sense of woundedness? Maybe one time we have been rejected. We betrayed. We mistreated. Misunderstood. Manipulated. And treated unfairly. It's hard, right? It's hurt. Think of time when you were bruised and wounded by actions, words, or those words that you hear from your friend, from your parents, from your husband, from your wife. Brethren, all those wounds that you have experienced in the past, let it go. If you hurt people because of somebody else, if they mistreated you, they rejected you, let it go. Don't hold it. That is already past, right? It's already done. Give it to Yeshua, and Yeshua deal with them. Amen? Deal with them. Give it to Yeshua. As I've said, why don't we worry? I don't mean that I'm not worrying. Sometimes I'm worrying also. But praise God, I have God that I'm always running through. And my hope is that through this message, the Lord will help us to see where we might be holding back and how can we live faithfully and freely. One solution that God gave it to us is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right? Wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. What's the promise? What's the promise? In all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking God first must be our first priorities, brothers and sisters, in our lives. If Yeshua is not our first priority, then what? What is the reason you're holding back? When we think about the things that are holding us back, of course, our passion is little until it's gone. Our love for the ministry, little until everything is gone. Like giving something for Yeshua is a matter of our love for Him. That's why Jesus, or Yeshua, according to Matthew 6:33, Yeshua called us not because He wants our attention or focus on Him. He called us to live a life that beyond our capabilities. Yeshua didn't call you because He wants your attention. No. He wants you to see all these things that He gave it to each one of you. When we think about worries, problem, hardship, or difficulties, we find out that all these are taken care of by Yeshua when you offer your life to Him. When we feel that we are lose something in life, we end up finding it through Him. Amen? When we give our lives to Him, everything that we are looking for, God is able to give it to us. Because He knows that we give our lives unto Him. When we feel that we lose something in life, we end up finding it through to Yeshua. And John wrote to the community of believers in Ephesians chapter 3, 2-5. It says here that, "Nevertheless, I have something against you, that you have left your first love." If you full of worries, you forget also your first love to Yeshua, because your mind is focused on your worries. And some of us involves ourselves in the ministry in many different ways. But if we let those worries and wounds weigh you down from serving the Lord, as I've said, your love and passion for God in the ministry is little gonna be gone. So what will we do if you feel that your passion is little going out? We need to do something, right? As Matthew 6:3, let's go back to Yeshua. The reason why we are here is to make fellowship with Yeshua, right? What is another reason why you are here? I think the main reason why we are here is to have a fellowship with Yeshua, fellowship with our brethren. But the question is, did we really come to fellowship with Him? Are you really come here to fellowship with Him? Some people might attend a service or be a part of a congregation to be entertained. This is not the place for you to be entertained. Right? Go to showbiz. They will entertain you there. But here, this is not the place for us to be entertained. This is the place for us to worship in fellowship to Yeshua. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3-4, some came to this congregation because for being look religious to your friend. So that your friend said, "Oh, you are so religious." In some, according to John chapter 6, verse 26, came to the congregation because of food. John 6:26. Are you still there? John 6, verse 26, it says here, "Yeshua responded to them, 'Amen, amen. I tell you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate all the bread and were filled.'" I know that you read this already. Yeshua told them, you came here not because of the sign, not because of the miracle, but because of you are full with the food that you eat. I came to the point that I almost give up my faith to the Lord. I almost lost my passion, my first love to Yeshua. My devotion especially is almost gone. Yes, I attend services from Sunday to Sunday or Shabbat after Shabbat, but my heart is not there anymore because I don't want somebody to, oh, you're backslidden. I pretend that I'm okay. I pretend that I'm faithful, but I cannot hide from God. Maybe I cannot hide to everyone, but I cannot hide to the God whom I'm serving. When they said, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm okay. There is no ground that they could say, oh, here is not already in God's way. I go to your church or congregation for the sake of showing off. But one morning, in my prayer time, while I am praying, you know what the Lord told me? Remind me about His goodness. Remind me how He take care of my worries. And this is the verse that every time I feel discouraged, weak, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I'm scared when I read this one. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And from that moment, I ask forgiveness. I repent for what I did, Lord. Forgive me. My worries cannot help me. Instead, it helps me to fall down on my faith to you. The second thing that holds us back in serving God is ignoring God's goodness. Ignoring God's goodness. In our text, in Luke 18, here is the young ruler man. He said, why do you call me good? Yeshua answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All this I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack nothing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. For sure, you know this story, right? So this is a very legitimate question that Yeshua said to this rich ruler. And one of those passages that on the surface is a little bit confusing, right? But as we meditate upon it, we can really understand what the passage is all about. Yeshua was approached by this young ruler who questioned him, "Good teacher." When you notice it, it like there is a bribe happen. "Oh, you're so pretty. Oh, you're so cute. Oh, you're so nice." And then what's the next? "Oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. Here's what happened. Oh, Yeshua, you're so good. But Yeshua knows that this young ruler, only using a flattering words, he thought that he will deceive Yeshua. But it's not. And Yeshua was not denying the fact that he was good. He's not denying the fact that he is God. That's why he said, "Why are you calling me good? Have you determined this for yourself, or others told you that I am good?" Do you understand who I really am I? Why are you calling me God? And at this point of time, Yeshua was probing the man for a deeper response in challenging him to think more seriously about his identity, that he was the Messiah of Israel. But you know what? The incident shows how deeply interested Yeshua was in every individual person, in the condition of their soul. In this case, he saw the self-satisfied love of wealth that man was saddled it. He saw the self-satisfied love of wealth. Why do people ignore goodness of God, God's goodness? Many passages of Scripture prove that God's goodness concern and interest in us. Sometimes we may think that God is unfair, right? Lord, how come those believers, we believers are suffer and those unbelievers prosper? Sometimes we think that way, that it looks like God is unfair. Look at the life of Job. Job was a wealthy man living in a land called Uz with a large family. Job suffered a lot. Even his friends accused him. Not only accused him, blame him. But when we look at the situation, that's true. It looks like unfair. But the point here is God is looking or developing the patience of hope. And also God wants us also to develop more patience in our life. I remember one time I went to a prayer mountain way back home, and one of my the guy that also going there to pray and fasting said that, "Oh, why are you here? Because before they accept you to join the prayer and fasting, they need some interview if you really God called you to fast." Then he said, "Because I came here, I really pray for my wife, it's because blah, 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 like this." And then, after one day, he go back to the registrar, said, "Oh, why are you here? Did God answer your prayer?" "Oh yeah, God answered my prayer already." "Oh, that's good. It's quick, yeah. So what did God answer you? What did God said to you?" "I need to be changed. Not my wife, it's me, himself." I need to be changed. You know, you get the point? He's going there to pray and fast for his wife, for her wife. But when God dealt him, the wife is not the one who be changed. He himself need to be changed. And sometimes you are like that. We look for, we point other people, we blame other people for some mistakes or something that is not good, but we don't see ourselves, right? So, friends, when we forget God's goodness, we start claiming credit for things God has already done. So when you forget God's goodness in your life, the tendency is always I, because of me. Without me, this church will not be prosper. Without me, there is no good service. Without me, as I've said, all the things that we have, gift, ability, knowledge, talent, comes from God, not comes from you. We are only stewards for that. So we need to use it for God's glory. You remember the one of in Luke chapter 12, the guy said that he need to build another building for his and God told him, Yeshua says to him, "You fool, tonight you're going to die." Because he's always thinking about himself. He never thinks that because of God, he become rich. Right? When you stop being grateful to God, you get in trouble, according to Romans 12:1. Because when they knew God, they glorify him as not as God, but themselves. So our thinking about everything is futile, worthless. And if we think like that, there is no such success coming to our lives. Everything we have, as I've said, is from God. And the third, don't worry, I'm done at 1:30. Are you still hungry? Are you hungry now? There's a lot of food downstairs, right? There's a lot of bread. We do not seek him to fill our bellies with physical food, but instead to observe his sign and believe him as the Messiah and Savior. So, first thing that holding us back in serving God is worries. Second is forgetting God's goodness. And this is the last. That's the last one. Fear of failure. This is the third thing why holding us back in serving God, we are fear to fail. Right? Fear of failure can hold us back because when we are afraid to fail, we're afraid to take risk. Right? Because you are scared, you don't want to take a risk. That's why, Jerry, we will assign you somewhere, we back home. I will assign you to. No, I'm not. Why not? You're done in Bible school, so you're qualified. No, I'm not. Not me, Lord. Not me. I'm still young. But God's ways is higher than our ways. I said, no, Lord, no. After 3 weeks, my no is become yes. Because we never know God's plan in our lives. Because that fear of failure make us down. If fear is always in our hearts and mind, we never grow. That's why fear of failures can hold us back, because when we are afraid to fail, we're afraid to take a risk. We reject opportunities for growth or advancement because it means stepping outside of our comfort zone and opening ourselves up to failing. So we stay where we are comfortable. Why do I need to go to Oko Talks and lead Bible studies? I'm comfortable here in the city. Why do I need to go to Chestermere? I'm okay here. I'm attending every Wednesday to attend the Bible studies, the same thing. That's not God wants you to be. God had a plan for you. That's why He sent you there. Right? And we continue, if we continue to this kind of attitude, we never succeed. Gideon is one example. A person have a lot of excuses. Right? When you read Judges chapter 6, verse 13 to 15, when God called him, he had a lot of excuses. Don't you know that excuses are the enemy of our faith? We're never going to experience the move of God if we just listen to the excuses of your life. You don't even hear or experience the goodness of God if the fear is still in our hearts. And don't let the excuses or alibis keep us away from what God wants us to do or who God wants us to be. Right? Because those excuses cannot help at all. Oh, can you do this? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. Why? Can you lead Bible study in? Oh, no. It's too far. You will never know. Maybe God only check how faithful you are. To overcome the fear of failure, we have to start from the roots and reconstruct the way it grows, and then reevaluate the situation. And after that, the fear of failure can be overcome. The fear of failure can be overcome. Moses is a good example of this. Right? When God called him, Moses was paralyzed of his own fear of failure. But God encouraged him. In spite of those experiences that Moses had, once he overcame the fear on his heart, God used him mightily, as well as Peter. Right? When Peter walking on the water, God is there, said, while Peter is looking at Yeshua, his feet never drawn, right? Never drawn. Then when the big waves come in, his eyes is turned away from Yeshua. So what happened? After he turned away his eyes to Yeshua, he start drawn, shrinking. Same thing to us, my brothers and sisters. If our eyes is not on God alone, someday, somehow, maybe no one is in here now, but as your brothers standing in front of you. Let's focus our eyes unto Yeshua. Whenever there's a lack of motivation to do anything, it can be really hard to get back into it. It is sad that congregation to have people come and sit through worship like it's their duty but not willing to serve in a capacity whatsoever. That kinds of attitude will never grow. We are here doing something because of our duty, because it's our duty to do it. That's wrong motivation. We do something for Yeshua because we love Him. Right? Oh, I will do it because this is my duty. That's wrong motivation. It must be, I'll do this because I love Yeshua. I can do this because my love for Yeshua. When we start doing things because we feel like we have to, they become a duty. The feeling of being comfortable and content can hold us back and keep us from being what God wants to be. And when we get comfortable with the way things are, become unwilling to transit, it becomes difficult to accomplish anything. So what's out? What's out when you do something for God? It's that because of your duty, or because you do it because you love God? Brothers and sisters, what is holding us back from serving God? What is holding us back from serving God? As I conclude my message, I want us to think about these 3 points that I have mentioned. Is it that worry that holding you back in serving God? Are we neglecting the goodness of God because of our fear of failure? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And thank you for reminding us not to worry about anything, because you are able to do and care all our needs. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness and faithfulness, O Lord, into our lives. Help us to overcome our failures, because we know that fear of failures will lead us into depression. It will lead us to be unsuccessful ministry or minister, Lord, or believers. But thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat shalom.